This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at Teachers Week 2021, held at Faith Builders from August 2 through 6.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Swanson, and I teach at Shalom Mennonite School. It's a K through 8 school in Terry Hill, Pennsylvania. That's in Lancaster County. I teach music there. I have one Bible class. And at lunchtime, I go to Terry Hill Mennonite High School, which is across the parking lot. It's a totally different school, actually. And I teach 9th through 12th, and all I do there is music. And I love teaching, and I think y'all are great because you're teachers. And I think what we do is truly a blessing. So, we're relational people. It's very important to us to have good relationships and to relate to each other well. All through the Bible, it seems like that's the important thing. We had Adam and Eve and God in their relationship. We had Jesus and his disciples, and even within that, he had small groups of friends, and apparently, according to John, one special one. And we have y'all and me and our students. And it's a wonderful relationship that we can have, and it's also very critically important. Christ says, and let this just be an encouragement to us, it's better for you to have a big millstone tied around your neck and be thrown in the water than it is to offend one of these little ones. And so, and if we ever offend a little one, there's ways to make that right. We're all about redemption. And so I think we should proceed with these relationships with so much care. Rod and staff, in that giant teacher book, you know what I'm talking about, Handbook for Teachers, it says that when problems arise with children, let's say from first kindergarten to sixth grade, things tend to escalate pretty fast, situations or rumors or gossip. And then when they're addressed, oftentimes forgiveness is really quick and it escalates, de-escalates pretty quickly as well. And the things are typically gone in a day or hours. High school level, 7th grade up to 12th grade, things can brew for weeks, and miscommunications and rumors can just breed, and then when it escalates, it's pretty bad, and then y'all know the downside of the story. It can take a long time for things patch up again, and so and it seems like relating with students tends to be that way with the little ones and with the big ones. So again, we should have great care with these things. This is actually a talk about relating to students on a day-to-day level in the classroom and one-on-one and in different periods of life. This isn't like a youth counselor kind of thing. Sometimes these talks are about just getting really close with students and counseling them, and that's not at all what this is about, so I hope y'all are okay with that. There's a place for that, but I think where most of our faux pas are is day-to-day things that we say and do, and maybe you have no idea what we said, and then you're coined as an awkward teacher. Creepy, and you don't know it until 5 years later. Anyways, and so I have two really distinct advantages over y'all. Am I bragging? No. One is that I've taught for a long time and had plenty of times when I opened mouth and inserted my foot. And so you learn pretty well of those. And another really great advantage that most of you don't have is that I've had children. My youngest one is 17, he's going into his senior year in high school, and they're a great filter, because they'll say, Dad, it seems like maybe you're favoring that one student, you need to stop talking to them. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know that, thanks. And other things, like, Dad, you're doing this, that's kind of weird, or Dad, that's kind of creepy, or whatever. And you know what, when a student tells you something like that, it's usually your children or nobody, it's probably true. So, and they will also say, Dad, this one teacher, you can't believe what they do, it's so awkward. And so I will share those things with you. So again, it's not because I'm brilliant, it's because I'm experienced with many mistakes, and also I have my children that are really good accountability partners. I have some slides for you. Not a whole lot today. They're actually for you to look at if you're visual and a little ADD, so that we can help you go along. So I've got a lot to say. Maybe we'll go to like 2:35 today. Like 5 minutes late, because remember you have a half hour break. I'm not gonna try to, I just would like to finish. If not, I will get through as much of this as I can with y'all, because I think it's very important. So oftentimes Faith Builders contacts teachers and says, we'd like you to teach on this. I just whatever, like Esther did when she went up to the king and he put a scepter out. I called Roland and I just said, he had asked me to do a music talk, and so I said, I think I'd do that. I've been thinking about this for a while, maybe a year, just about things that I've learned, times of day when you talk to students, and weird things in relating to them, and I think it's really practical. Good things to do, and then things to avoid. And so he thought about it, and then it was quite a while, I think, and he said, I think that would fit nicely with what we're doing. So, like Esther, I didn't get killed or whatever when he asked me that. He said that would be fine. So here we are. Your students know if you care. And I think they know if you don't care. And I think they know if you don't care and you try to fake it. You know, their radars are pretty good with that. So I would encourage you to do everything you can to prepare, to care for them, and to be a blessing. Greet them all the time. When you say, how's it going? Do you mean, how's it going? Fine. All right. See ya. You know, if the student just pauses and you just see it in their eyes, don't say, all right, good. Have a good day. Just stop and say, are you okay? And I know you have to know your students and what's appropriate and where, but they know that that's very different. My daughter was a cashier at Good Store, and she said it's a huge difference when a customer will say, how you doing? Fine, and then, you know, they're done. Or when they say, did you have a good day today? And she says, it's just so nice when it's not just, how's it going? It's, did you have a good day? It means a lot to the students, because as y'all know, there's some pain. And so just take a moment. If you feel like they're maybe wanting to say more, or they're really just saying, yeah, it's fine, and hoping you'll say something. So learn your students' names correctly, and say them correctly for the rest of your life. And if you say it wrong, I wouldn't giggle too much and make it like a pet name for them. I would say, I am so sorry. Y'all that know me, I'll ask you where you're from and your churches and your names many times. It's so important. My wife's name is Dina Swanson. Dina Swanson. It looks almost like Deanna, and she's okay with that. I asked some friends once when I saw her, I was like, so that lady, is her name Dina or Deanna? And I was just asking, right? I wasn't really curious about her or anything, but anyways, and he said, it's Dina, and I was like, okay, I think that is so important to a child's small, tender, and a high schooler's small, tender ego to say their names right, and don't make sport of their names. It's so important. All right, types of teachers. These, you can't pigeonhole everybody. These are a little bit caricatures, but I want you to think about them, because you may fit into one of these, and you don't think you do. All right, I have, and I ain't going to tell you which ones. So, kind of making light of some things that we want to avoid, and then some of these that I hope that we can all grow into as we mature. The trying to be cool teacher. It's important to them to be relevant to the student, and this is not a thing for 22-year-olds or 18-year-olds. Oftentimes, it's the 30, 35, 40 where we start feeling like, well, I kind of would still like to be kind of cool. You're not. And so we're kind of relevant. Some problems with, and you know what it is, I mean, so you dress like it was cool when you were cool 20 years ago. I'm not trying to teach you how to be cool, but it, not only are you not, but the students are like, this is really awkward if you just be a man, you know, or a lady. Part of this is oftentimes these kind of teachers have short-lived popularity. They may be very popular for 3 weeks of school, and then something just clicks, and it's not that attractive to students, really. And I've noticed that these kind of teachers can gain classroom management quickly because the students think they're pretty cool. And then after 2 or 3 weeks, your pretty cool doesn't help them to know when they can or can't talk, or when they can or can't do anything, and then it's a nightmare, and they don't favor that teacher anymore. So teacher B is trying to be just like a student. This is different than trying to be cool. Remember, even if you're an 18-year-old teacher, the students probably view you more closer to the age of their parents than you realize. They really do. My band director, who I loved in high school, he was about 28 years old. I was 14. My parents were 34, 36 years old, and I was pretty sure they were all the same age. Think about that. I added, you know, 8 years to the guy's life. They were just all adults. So I know some of us think, I'm 28, I'm young. Students are looking at you thinking, you're 28, whoa. You know what I mean? You're so old. And so I just wouldn't worry about it. It's tempting sometimes even for older adults to try to dress and act like students and do the things that they do. Remember when you were that age, which is such a valuable resource, remember what you did. Oftentimes they're doing things because the other students are doing it, not really because they even think it's that cool. It's what you do. And so I think there's some destabilizing, there is a destabilizing effect for them trying to see adults try to be like they are when they're being like they are just to fit in, and they might just hate it. So my band director, he was 28, which in my mind, honestly, he was the same age as my parents. He showed up once, there was a musical performance, and we saw him, and it was outside. And he came up, and it was in the mid-80s, and he had these super long, short pants, and that's what people wore. And he said something about him. He said, do you all like my short pants? We didn't say that. We just said shorts. And I just was thinking, I can't believe you did that. It wasn't immodest or anything. I mean, they were longer than short shorts or whatever. But, I mean, he was trying to look young, and I just remember thinking I loved him. I still do. I love all my teachers. And I thought, this is just weird. Why is he doing that? I was really disappointed. It kind of took him down a few levels because he was really trying to be relevant that way. Anyways, my children, and you don't need to try to guess who I'm talking about. I've taught in the Baptist school. A non-Anabaptist evangelical Baptist school. I've taught in Mennonite schools. I've taught in a beachy school. I taught in a charity school. And now I teach in a school where we have everything. We represent about 30 different churches, Mennonite denominations, and about 7 or 8 different Mennonite denominations within the 30 churches. So don't try to guess. So my children said once they had a chapel, and a teacher got up and started talking about how young he was and how he was actually closer in age to the students than he was to the rest of the teachers. And he was very relevant with technology. And he said, I'm just like y'all, I have Instagram. So we all have Instagram, okay, and Facebook. And he went down the list of things. And my children came home, they're just like, I just can't believe he said that. Why was he trying to show us that he was, you know, just like a student? And honestly, if he was 2 years older than them, they probably thought he was 22 or 23 until that. So, you know, if you are one of those adults that can be relevant just because you are, then that's one thing, but man, don't try it. You know, don't try to be just like a student. I'm trying to be an important authority. This is the person that's like, I am a professor. And you can tell when you meet them that they're the professor. They're smart, and you're dumb. And I mean, just simple things that they say in life are just, I'm smart. It's all with authority. And they tend to view teaching as an opportunity to like be in charge of other people and to be important. And they want to appear very wise. But in there, which I think is funny, they're like a sage. Like just this wise old person. And that's like their thing. I mean, why would you want to do that? And it's very important that you view them as smart, and they use like big words to try to impress you. Have you ever known somebody that was truly intelligent, that was really, really smart, and they didn't use big words? And you can just tell as soon as they open their mouth, like, this person is really quite brilliant. And they don't try to use words or use fancy words wrong. That makes it worse. So I had a friend a long time ago, and there's no way you know this person. And he taught in college. He was a business professor, and he was like the I am the professor guy. And so in college classes, it's very different than faith builders in that if you want to skip a class, in theory, there's not a lot of accountability. You're paying for it. There might be 100 people in the class, and they may or may not know that you missed it or not. And in faith builders, there's very high accountability for the students. And so it's not the right thing to do, but you could still get an A if you could, you know, keep up with the classes. So he realized that he had a female student, adult. He was an adult. She was an adult. Was in college, and she was a professional, I believe. And she had been skipping class. And so there's a test once. And she skipped the class. And so he called her office where she worked, and she answered the phone, and he's like, this is your professor, I got you. Why did he track her down and say that? I mean, it's just that is so awkward. I busted you. I'm 35 and you're 30, and I found you doing that. That's just really awkward. Why are y'all looking at me like that? And so I'm just saying, I just remember his goal was just to be like, to keep a track of adult students and to be an authority. And I just remember thinking, that is the weirdest thing I've ever, why did you call her at her office to see, I mean, if she's skipping the test. Anyways, the next one tends to be a guy, doesn't have to be, is the flirt. And I don't want to make light of this one. It's creepy teacher. And you know, I don't think you realize this, why it's happening. And I put this somewhere else. Anyways, this very well could be the first time when a guy teaches that women have ever paid him any attention in his life. Suddenly, you're in charge, and you're the teacher, and you're speaking, and girls are looking at you. And it, you know, in some ways, you can make it humorous, but I just don't think guys process it all, and I think it can lead to irreverent, probably at first, for sure, accidental behavior or something like that. And you know, well, we're going to actually talk about this more specifically. So I just put, you know, don't sit with girls. Just don't sit with girls. I don't like to sit with lady teachers. It's just weird, inappropriate anyways. Don't ever be in a closed room. Billy Graham rule. We'll talk about that in a minute. People are watching you. Even if you feel like you're keeping it professional, when you talk to the same person over and over about school, it's just, it's awkward, and it's just not right. And it's, I think, pretty hard to shake that image, even if you know, you mend your ways. So, the mature, secure, stable human being, usually interesting people. It can take a little while of maturing to get to be that way, because you do want to work through being cool, being like a student, the important authority guy. If you were a flirt, then that. So at one point in my life, I was like cooler than I am now. Don't laugh, okay? I was. All right, I was in my early 30s, and you know, I really thought I knew how to relate to students and young people better than people that were older than me. And I was a music teacher, and I dressed a little bit cool. Don't mock me, okay, I'm just saying. And so I noticed that sometimes I had one or two students like would drop my class for this other student, for this other teacher that was about 45 years old. He had a little man beard, kind of nerdy hair, if you know what like geek hair is. And soft-spoken. He's very, very intelligent. And he taught advanced math, and he taught psychology. And you know, I'm just thinking, you know, I'm the one that kind of, forgive me, okay, I don't think like this anymore. It was a long time ago. And I just thought, well, I'm going to his class. I mean, I'm like cooler, and I'm more relevant than he is. And you know, I thought about that for years, and it just makes perfect sense to me. He's a stable guy. He could be most of those students' dad's age. He was interesting. He's pretty caring. I remember observing a class of his. It was an advanced math class, and the students were all talking a lot. And he went up in front of class, and he went there, and he said, okay, we're going to start class now. If you can open your book, and it was silent. That's awesome. To me, that's more than having a class silent when you walk in there the whole time, is if they can talk. And if there's enough respect and culture there, that when you start talking, it's done. And I've striven for that, actually, in our high school. So just think about that. It's interesting. You know, it's kind of the dad. I think it would be goal for us men to be, at some point in your career, a big brother, and work on our way, when you're 35 or older, really, to be the dad. And ladies, the same thing. They're your little sisters. Even if you're in the same youth group and you're their teacher, big sisters, and then if you're still teaching ladies and you're a career teacher, the mom figure. You know, it's a blessing to be that way. Okay, I want to be your best friend, youth counselor. In the 1990s and the 2000s, the evangelicals really got into this culture of youth pastor, and youth pastors were very charismatic, and it's still around, and I think it's crept into our cultures a little bit. Younger people with young families, a lot of mentoring. Mentoring is good. It just needs to be structured, and mentors need to have mentors. And so they were adults that were pretty cool, spending inordinate amount of time probably with young people. And I've seen that sometimes even in our schools. And so what that can cause is that the teacher that does this and the students that he's involved with kind of view themselves as cooler than everybody else, and cool becomes a big deal, and it's hard to relate finally to that teacher's authority because the relationship was built on that, and then really hard to relate to other teachers who are just normal trying to do their thing. And so my students are my friends. I don't tell them that like till they graduate. My children are my best friends in the whole world, even when they're like 5. Some people say they're not their friends until they graduate. I just don't tell them that, but they are. We just love them, and I love my children so much. My like biological children, I love them, and they're my friends. So yeah, our students are our friends, but the best friend thing, that's just not appropriate, I think, when you're their teacher. The I make fun of Mennonites guy. I mean, you've probably heard of teachers that are just getting a little frustrated with our culture, so they make fun of Mennonites to the students. So I'll bring up the second point first. You probably shouldn't be teaching Mennonites because you don't like Mennonites, right? That's funny. You're supposed to laugh. I'm just saying. Why is he here? Second one is, there's a teacher, and he just kept giving digs at the plain suit, digging at the plain suit, digging at our culture. And the crazy thing is some of the youth that were in a part of, well, I won't tell you, I'm not giving anything away, but anyways, that I knew some of these youth, even some of the cooler youth that might not have been huge plain suit fans, they're kind of offended that their teacher was just giving those digs to plain suits. We get so whacked out comparing ourselves with the world. If you're a worldly person, it's like cool to wear a plain suit. It like always has been. That's like what famous people do. But we look at it and think, well, we have to. And so the whole thing, just wear the thing. Anyways, so we just shouldn't give digs at our own culture like that. Oh, that's a terrible thing. So, I understand other digs, If you're in a school and you don't like the curriculum, for whatever reason, just don't do digs, at our culture. We're here to build up a culture that I think is a beautiful thing that we have. And the last one, the outline I gave you is like 5 days old. Teachers edit these things until like an hour ago. And so my notes have more than yours. So the cheerleader. Just be a cheerleader. But can you think of a blessing? I realize that we don't want to make our students all proud by blessing them. I'd rather bless my students. I just love them. Especially since I get to teach K through 12 every day, especially those little ones, just bless them. Our students at Shalom wear uniform, so all I've got to bless them on is those the girls, how they braid their little hair, the guys in their little belts and their shoes and their watches, and the girls in their shoes. And I love shoes anyways. Be a cheerleader. Tell them how much you like what they do. It's okay. I really think it's, I don't think that's going to make them egomaniacs. I just think it's nice. Isn't it nice when somebody says something nice to you? It feels good to me. If I get a bad note from a child and I can't tell what the writing is and I don't know what the picture is that they drew, my day's made. That's it. It is made. I got something, a piece of candy on there, a poorly colored picture of a horse. My day is made. It's so nice. Think Barnabas, the encourager. Can we be that way to every single student you have every single day? Even the cool, tall basketball guys, it feels good. I had one guy, I told him, I love shoes. I like Vans, childhood thing. Anyways, in Converse, and I just said, you got Vans on. That looks nice. And he told me years later, he said, I felt like I was on cloud nine because you said that to me. And I really meant it. I really do like Vans. I don't like dude shoes as much, so I won't say that, but they're interesting. But, and he said that I had no idea. It impacted this guy. He said, I felt so good. That was the first day of school. You found me and you met me and you said you like that. So for the guy that I said that today, I really do like Vans. Anyways, all right, this is so important. Timing. Your students love you, probably. And the times of day, places that you meet them, really impact how to relate to them, and it took me a while to figure this out, but it really works. And so just trust me on this. And some people don't really watch students' body language and they all think everything's okay all the time. So the morning is awkward. The Bible says, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. In the high school, I think we all wish all the students loved us and thought we were their favorite teacher, okay, and we're sensitive to how they respond. I noticed that the students are happy to socialize in the morning at our school a lot, go to the gym, play some volleyball, and play some basketball. They're really weird about teachers talking to them. And they really like us much more, it appears, by lunch. I can't explain that, but it's good to know because I just don't try to talk to the students unless I've got something like, I need you to do this by this period or whatever. You watch it. It just helps relationships go on a lot. Great. On the mornings when I'm at Shalom, the elementary school, you can say whatever you want to a child. You can say the same things you do all day, and they'll smile at you, and you probably just made their whole day. Compliment a high schooler too early in the morning. Actually, I did tell that guy in the morning that I liked his Vans. But anyways, usually, that's just the way it is. It's really golden, as you relate to students. And you know what? It's okay that the high schoolers feel awkward. They just want to socialize. And I think maybe they don't want to be seen talking to a teacher in the morning in their grumpy pants anyway. So, sports games. So in our culture in Lancaster County, a lot of the bigger schools play competitive sports, basketball games, volleyball games. I've noticed that the students do not like to talk to their teachers before, after, or during the games. They're just weirded out. It's probably because there's 200 people watching or something. I don't know what it is. But I mean, why just keep trying to go up to them and talk to them or make everything awkward? It's just the way they are. But you know what? I think every student knows exactly which of their teachers came and watched, and it was special to them. So when they knew, and it was important, it's just weird when your teacher comes up and tries to slap five or something or be cool at the game. All right, I don't know why it is, but it's okay. Places. So it's interesting to me when you see your students not in school. So sometimes you just kind of have to know the student. Maybe you think you know them and see how they respond. Some will be so happy to see you at Good Store that we have. Mennonites like to go to Reuse It. Is that the name of it? Reuse It in New Holland and go, their moms do, because so they can make their houses look like Pinteresty or whatever, and bring their children. So one of my favorite students, sorry, I don't have favorite students. Anyways, this happy girl who's so happy to see me at school, she was in the third grade, and we were in Reuse It. I was with Dina. I just think they played pretty music, and it reminds me of things that I saw in my childhood that they sell there. And so I just walk around there for a while and then look at books. And so my little student and her mom were there, and I mean, the little student was beside herself. She hid behind her mom, and I think she told me she thought she might pass out. And this is the student that would run up to me. She's in the ninth grade now and still is so happy, and she jokes about that time. Here's the teacher and Reuse It. It was just weird, and that's okay. I just have to realize that. Another student who has been singing solos since the third grade, outgoing, wants to be at every music event. She went to a music camp in Ontario when she was like in the fourth grade, and I saw her. And where's another hangout place we have? They have, it's in Honeybrook, September Farm. I saw her and her mom. She wouldn't speak to me. She just wouldn't. So ask her the next day, and she's happy. She's like, yeah, I don't know why I was like that. And so I see her in Good Store, and again, silence. You know, and I was like, okay, and she's like, I don't know. When I see you there and you're not the teacher or whatever, it's just weird. But if you do think about it, it is weird because you've got this authority that you respect, and suddenly they may have dressed just a little bit different and they're just happy in the store. That's not that weird. But I've just noticed that. Why am I telling you that? So don't try to make them awkward and make them talk and say hi to me or, you know, or what's your problem? It's okay. If they want to talk to you, they will, and go on with it. If they don't, just love them for that anyways. At church, I've got students, so like I said, we have a community Mennonite school, so we have like three or four families that have children in the two schools I teach at church. And so on Sunday morning, I mean, they like won't look at me. The teacher is in church with me now. Some of you that have one church schools and the teachers and you're just always all together, maybe it's a little different, but I mean, they just won't look. And that's okay, they're not being rude. It's just really funny. I'm like, and the other children, I just love children, so I'll talk to children more than adults after church. Anyways, and you know, the other church children are like, Mr. Swanson or Jeff, I guess they call me, and you know, tell me this or that. The school children are just like, I don't say anything. So it's just a timing thing, and it's okay. Bringing up personal agenda every time you see a student. So I teach music, and I love music. I love teaching. I love choirs and our tours and our programs and the music we're going to sing. It's just, I think about it all day. The students don't think about that all day. I have a few that might, and I have a few that might think about it a lot, but none of them think about it all day. And for years, I would see students, and if I saw them bring up something that would help my agenda in choir, I wasn't mad at them. They weren't in trouble. And they all, about 100% of the time, they were gracious. I just got to realize, man, I'm bugging people. They love singing, but when they leave choir, they're still not singing those songs all day like I am. And so, you know, do we talk to students about things like that all the time? Don't bring up your agenda every time you see a student. I have some section leaders, and sometimes I need them to do something, but I try to keep my relationships with the students when I see them not business. You know, just let it be, how are you, how's your day, how's this going, this hobby you have, or this activity that you do. So bringing up personal agenda every time you see a student. So there was a test done once, and there was a guy, and he had like a purple pen, and he was interviewing a person. And so the guy that was doing the interview was mean, is grumpy, and he was negative, and he was writing with a purple pen, okay, and they're testing. And so I don't know how many people they tested this on. And so after that, they would ask the people to fill out like a survey form, and they'd lay in front of them a purple pen and a black pen, okay? And so what do you think that they chose? It was the black pen, like every time, because they associated negative behavior with that purple pen that they just watched this guy use. So why am I saying that? We just don't want to have the students associate us with business, or every time I see you, I'm going to do this. Let you be the pen that means this is the happy teacher that's going to say something and bless me when they see me, and not just a personal agenda. So public admonishment, timing. I won't get into these. You can ask me later if you want, because I think it's sometimes humorous. But the cultural differences, meaning Amish background, beachy Amish people, and Mennonite, Mennishta, the way they respond to public, you're in trouble, is vastly different. And it's very important, I think, especially to the more sensitive side culturally of those, you know, to think about that. Because, we're an Anabaptist culture, but, I mean, even here, we've got way, I wouldn't say way bigger, but considerably more than Amish background and Mennonite background people. And so we really should be sensitive to how we address things. Don't go tough guy on a student and cause damage. I had a young guy student, and he kept saying rude things in public to me, and I tried to push it off, talk to him or whatever. I finally realized I'm going to address this in front of the class and go a little tough on him. And he kept doing it. And I finally talked to his mom about it for her to help him out. And she said, oh, I will. I'll take care of it. And so she came back to me. She said, he feels like you're making fun of him in front of the class with what you're doing. And, you know, I was like, ugh. You know. And so I said, well, that shouldn't be done. Nothing's worth that. And it never even really worked on him anyways. He kept doing it. So I went up to him and I apologized. And I apologized again a few months later. And then I actually just apologized to him like 2 weeks ago, actually. I saw him. And it's just awful. And so, and it had been a while. So just don't think that maybe I should do the tough guy or the mean lady approach. Just do something else. You can be stern. I mean, if somebody's doing something horribly destructive, you can say, stop it right now. That's it. So I'm just saying, and if your classroom management is under control, usually that won't arise. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Here's a great one. I learned this. It's awesome. If somebody is being naughty in class and you've got a big group, go over to them and just stand by them and whisper, you're in trouble. Try not to think about it. We'll talk about it after school. And then just leave. And I tell you, it works 100% of the time, because they're just like. And you, so it's a wonderful one. And I mean, you didn't do anything bad. You whispered, and they've got to sit there and wait. And sometimes, I mean, that could be 2 hours. You didn't send them to the principal's office. They're just waiting for what you're going to say to them. And so it's a much better way to diffuse somebody that's going nuts. They already saw that you got whispered to, but you didn't shame them in front of people. And they're just thinking, well, you know what they're thinking. So it works. Be careful with the amount of times you privately admonish a student. We can create you're a bad student. You are an evil person. So I know some students really struggle, but we just have to be careful. And so you need to be blessing the students that appear like they're evil as much as you can, and not convince them that they're bad. I think some students just hands out, I'm rebellious, and you know, I probably need to work on it, but I'm rebellious, and I get that. I think some students are socially a little awkward and do some things that they shouldn't, and they don't mean so bad, and we convince them that they are a rebel. That's a horrible thing to do, to convince them that we make them a rebel because we got frustrated with them. So please be careful. It's kind of like me bringing up the choir agenda every time I see a student. If every time you see a student, you've got to counsel them, can you do better for me today, you know, when we're in class together? Try to avoid that. Maybe you should send it somewhere else to the principal if it gets bad enough, but do not convince people that they're wicked. Okay, do not do that. All right. All right. I know it's a lot of talking, and I don't have a lot of slides. I got a lot to go through. And if you go to my wife's seminars, you know what's great about her is she prepares everything before Faith Builders. She goes to every session there is, and then I cast a set up for like 10 minutes, and I'm like studying and stuff and trying to get, and then she'll have a slideshow with like 280 slides, and she'll talk, and she'll be right on par with each slide, and it's just awesome. So she's better than I am. So anyways, so clothing. Mennonites, Anabaptists hate to hear this. We have a problem as Anabaptists, I believe, maybe our youth do, and we do, with blurring conservative conversations with being professional conversations, because oftentimes more conservative-looking clothes does look more professional. And so sometimes I've had students and their parents hate on me because I said, y'all need to wear black socks when we sing because it looks good and we will match. And I had a dad once that told his two boys, you will wear white socks. I don't care what he says. You will wear those because we are not going to do that because that's conservative. And so why am I saying that? We need to dress like a man or a woman, okay? You don't have to dress too odd or like you're too old, okay? But we need to dress like men and we need to dress like women. It's such a good example, and it does affect the way students listen to us, approach us, and there is some authority in it. And I don't want you to be the I'm smart and you're dumb guy, all right? You know, in my background, you know, if you wear a suit and tie, you're probably not trying to be cool. That's actually very appropriate for a Baptist person. I think it's very appropriate for a guy to wear a button-down shirt and nice-looking pants and not try to put too many bizarre colors that you shouldn't anyways together. And ladies, really similar. So I'm going to show you a slide. This is a famous guy. I'm not going to tell you who it is because I don't want to harp on too many non-Mennonite things. He was an actor. He always looked like he was about 10 years older than he is. And I read once an article about him that said, this guy has made it okay for grown men to dress like grown men and for not to have to dress like they're 18. And you know what? He did it forever. And I think maybe part of the reason for his fame or whatever is because he dressed like that. He had gray hair early. I don't know that he ever dyed it. And he dressed like a man. Suits all the time. Am I saying that we need to wear plain suits all the time? No, but I am saying, that's just for you to look at. I am saying, just dress like an adult. You don't have to go completely Old Navy on us, all right? You can dress Old Navy and look professional, but you know what I'm saying? It just looks nice. You know how your church dresses, and you go with that and your school standards and just look like a grown-up. It really, really is a blessing. You're just going to get respect from that, okay? So anyways, you'll never be high school cool again. I see girls that were really cool in the 11th, 12th grade, and then 3 years later when they come back to teach something, they dress with 11th and 12th grade cool, and they're not cool anymore anyways, and so it just makes them awkward because they still think they're pertinent when they're not. So just dress like a lady, all right? Same thing with guys, all right? And this does affect relationships. I think it's okay to dress. You don't have to dress awkwardly to set yourself apart from students. You don't have to wear the same shirts you wore 20 years ago just not to try to act like you're a student. Does that make sense? You don't have to try to be over bizarre or the whatever, you know, weirdo teachers. They do that sometimes, but dress like an adult. I had a teacher once. His name was Bill Capps. He was my French horn teacher. I think he had two suits in these really out of style, weird long shoes. And he was a wonderful musician, and he was weird, and I loved him. He was bald, and I think we all thought that was cool because he's bald. And he wore weird clothes and had a weird old school briefcase that he always had this weird sandwich in, and he'd take like one bite out of it and leave it there and have food on his face. You know what? We loved him. And I don't think I would have liked him one bit more if he would have dressed cooler. He was great. He was our teacher. And that was what we loved. Conversations. Be really mindful of what you say all the time. It could negatively change a student's life. Be careful. My wife loves teaching. She wanted to be a teacher in our background. I'm from a non-Mennonite background, if you haven't figured that out. We got to talk to you about that later. And we would pretty much all go to college, and she wanted to be a teacher. Her dad was one time in a car. Family was driving. And Dina said, want to be a teacher? Dad said, you're not going to make any money doing that. Go do advertising or something else. So she changed her major and went to advertising and absolutely hated it. went back to school because that's what we would have to do. Studied teaching. She became a teacher. 20 years later, she said, "Dad, do you remember that conversation where you changed my life and told me I needed to not teach? What do you think her dad said?" He said, "I have no idea what you're talking about. I didn't say that." So just make sure that you're not the one that negatively changes some precious child's life. A lot of questions and conversations that might seem like it would be pretty neat to get into with a student need to just be at. You need to ask your parents. We get that in Bible class. So, I mean, there's some pretty inappropriate things that could be inappropriate that cometh up in the Bible that if they haven't been taught, they need to go to their parents. A guy doesn't need to say that in front of the class. Does that make sense? So just think about that. That's an awesome way to respond as an adult to a student. Just go ask your parents. You know that one. Students' political views are probably their parents. Be careful. We've talked a lot about politics, and we've been separated to some point with political views. If a student says what you think is biblically the wrong thing politically, just be careful, because they probably, all they know is that's what dad says. So I wouldn't go too, "You're right, you know, you've got the theology thing lined up in front of the class," and shame them. Because most of us think what our parents think, you know, when we're young. So be careful for that. Am I saying that you're agreeing with them? No, but it's not your place, especially in front of the class, or maybe even one-on-one. If it's an older student and they say, "Can you tell me biblically what you mean?" Maybe. But you don't want to argue through a student to their parents. Does that make sense? That's bad. All right. Be so careful, just in anything you say, not to be really weird and awkward, okay? My daughter once said, one of her teachers would just comment on her dress fabric. It was a guy teacher. And she just said, "Dad, that's just so weird. It just feels weird. It's not really inappropriate. Maybe it is." And she just said, "Yeah." And so I thought, if I ever did that, I'm going to do that anyways. And so just that can be weird. Guys, tell your guy students you like their pants or whatever, I don't know, and nice shirt and nice shoes. Ladies, tell them what great dress fabric that is, for sure. That's great. And, you know, but just be careful, especially girl to guy and guy to girl, guy teacher to girl student, that you're just really careful. That's going to make you awkward, and it's going to spread pretty quick, and you'll never know it, and never knew what went wrong in those Bible discussions that nobody would talk or whatever, you know what I mean? So just mind those things. And I wrote in my notes, be or pretend to always be the adult. Yeah, like, well, we are adults. Well, I have to pretend sometimes, you know? And so just when you talk to these students, try not to go too much on their level. Relate to them. Remember how you felt when you were in the fifth grade? It's very pertinent. Or in the eighth grade, or as your senior, and that's going to help you. But don't try to be the, "Yeah, dude, yeah, I get that." Or, "Hey, man," you know, just don't try that. Be the adult, or try super hard, like, to pretend like that you're an adult. All right? Honestly. Okay, be their cheerleader. Look for every excuse you can to bless them. We talked about that. Culturally, we can be a little weak. Go to their events. If they play sports, you know, I love music better than sports, but I do enjoy watching the guys play basketball, and I enjoy watching those girls play volleyball. Nothing's one of the best things. Spiking's great, but I just love it when they can just do a straight pass, and it just hits there, and it goes, and it sails up there, and somebody spikes it. It's beautiful. You know, that's doing what they do well. Again, I'd rather go watch them sing, but if my guys are going to play basketball, go to at least one game. They will know that you're there, all right? Same thing with volleyball. If there's a chorus program from somebody else's church, go hear your students sing. You think they're not going to find you out there? After the program's over, do you think they're going to mingle with you and come find you? No, because that's kind of like a sporting event. That sounds bad. Socially afterwards, they're going to look for youth. But they saw you there. Go to their events. You need to support them, all right? Especially if their parents, they don't, all right? You know, like I said, I compliment little guys on their shoes. Sometimes they'll walk up to me and I just go like that. "Did you see my shoes, Mr. Swanson?" And I say, "Those are just nice shoes. They have Velcro like on them." And I say, "Show me the Velcro." And they'll be like, "Chick, chick, chick." Like, yeah. You know, little girls, I love two braids. Little girls, okay, I don't think it's appropriate at some age to really talk about a girl's hair much. But you know what? Two braids, that looks really nice today. And then the mom will come up to me, she'll smile and say, "Mr. Swanson, I have to do my daughter's hair in two braids every day now." because you said that. But you know why the mom said that? Because it meant something to that little girl, and it's appropriate for a guy teacher or a lady teacher to say that. And I do like two braids, you know? Anything that you can do on the pictures they color, brighten their day with a blessing. Guy to girl, girl to guy relations. I said this before, it's funny because this is my first time a guy's gotten any attention from any girl ever. And so it just needs to be really careful. I don't care if you were the nerdiest, geekiest teacher in the whole world, suddenly, you know, you're an authority and it can just, you know, mess some things up. I tell people, kind of the guys too, I'm not really a huggy person or whatever, but just tell them, I have a big bubble. Even when you're talking with girls and guys, girls get a little close, just have a huge bubble, and I don't want you to break that. Enough said. I mean, and just let it be known for whatever. They might say, is that a bubble because you don't like physical contact with humans or because appropriateness? They've never asked me that. Usually I think they just assume both, actually. And so you keep a big bubble around you of appropriateness. You just don't need to get close to students. Even when you have to answer a question from a girl, you know, and their desk is here, I mean, you need to be like this. I don't want to breathe coffee breath on any human anyways. So why would you get close to a student and be like, I help you? And then students sixth grade are like, I don't know. And you're like, oh, hers is worse breath than mine. And so it's appropriate socially and the other way as well. Billy Graham rule, we guys should not be in a room alone with a girl student and door closed. Maybe not usually in a room alone with the door open either. All right, it's just not appropriate. Same things with girl teachers and guys. It's just accountability. I've been teaching Amish people voice lessons this last summer, and they bless me. And they asked me to do it, and they're willing to do it. And so every time I have a student with a lady, I'll say, this is what I'd like you to do. Bring somebody. You can bring your sister, a husband. You can bring a child. You just want somebody else. And, you know, I've never had anybody do this before. One of the Amish young ladies, she just looked at me. She said, thank you. And I just thought, that was so sweet. What a great response. I'm respecting her, and, you know, she's respecting me. So I'd stick with that thing, all right? I don't feel comfortable with my wife hanging out with a guy in a closed room. I feel like comfortable with my daughter doing the same thing. And so, great rule. All right. And flirting. You know, I thought for a long time my flirting was making suggestions that you like somebody or that they were attractive. And it took me, Mr. Dull, a while to realize that if you just talk to somebody too much or in a certain way that really is very appropriate what you're saying, but how many times you do it or to the same person, it's just inappropriate and it's flirty. So just stay on this side of it, you know. And if you have guts, ask co-teachers or your children, say, am I like inappropriate with girls or whatever? They'll tell you, because you don't want to be marked as creepy. You do not want to be marked as creepy. All right, keep going. Next one, greet them. All I'm saying is, in the morning, if you can stand in the front door of your school or your classroom and say hello to every human being, it's a huge blessing. It really is. Maybe they'll say, oh, you're saying hi to me again. It's still a blessing, all right? You smile and do it as much as you can. Desiring approval from dominant students. How often did Jesus find the really famous people and bless them? Was it not the lepers? He touched them. You weren't supposed to touch lepers. Samaritan woman wasn't supposed to do that, all right? He talked to some of the worst people, the people the Jews hated, publicans. I think you may very well win all the hearts of all the popular, cool people, dominant people in your school if you care for all the nerdy ones and the needy ones and the socially awkward ones. Does that make sense? I think sometimes, and I will say that for maybe later. Anyways, you care for them and bless them. It's so easy to live school wanting the dominant people to like you, to hopefully that'll filter through and plus it makes us feel better. You find those people that need love and you be like Christ. When the cool people need your love too, I think they'll come. But let's seek after those who are the least of these. They're watching you. Make sure you fairly discipline popular students, okay? Sometimes it feels really good to discipline people that aren't dominant or cool. And boy, that backfires big time. My daughter told me once there was a teacher's pet. It was somebody, the teacher liked sports. This person was really good at sports. And he kind of never really would put his finger down on that person and discipline him. And the guy was so rude to the teacher that finally the teacher got frustrated one day, like threw a bunch of papers or books and yelled in the Mennonite school. And so it just doesn't work to favor people that are on the dominant side of things. They'll turn back on you. Social media. Do not message your students on social media unless it's an all-class group. And there are going to be exceptions, but you really just shouldn't be chatting. Does that make sense? There are times when I might say to one student something about class. It needs to be few and far between. I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't chat. How's it going? How are you? Some of you are like, duh. And I think some of you are like, what? That can be weird. And then B, it makes you look really weird and needy and not cool and really awkward. And the next point is get it? I mean it. Be careful on social media. Do not play online group games with the students. Okay, forget that. Do not play online video games, period. But my point is, if you do that, don't do it. So I had a somebody I knew that there was a teacher and they were having a bus trip. A big bus full of students, and they were all playing on their phones, they're playing a video game. And so the teacher kept asking the different students to add them. and I think they would add and go to another game. And finally, all the students just exited the game because they were so weirded out that the teacher was trying to play this online game. And so, not that y'all would do that, but I mean, he did. And so that's just weird. So I wouldn't play video games anyways. So if you really want to do social media, my dear wife says, do not add a student while they're a student. Do not add anybody. I realize like with WhatsApp, it's contacts, but that's just weird for a teacher to add a student, even if you're 2 years apart. But my dear wife does say, if they add you, it's okay to just add them back and be polite. I just wouldn't be trying to load up on your likes or your followers from people that are that much younger than you. It's just kind of weird, and I'm right about that. Interesting people have their own interests. What do I mean by that? So I like Vans shoes. I love to run and exercise. I just love it. I just think it's fun. I love music and choral music and singing and things pertaining to that. And I like to read Christian fiction. Even if none of my students like that, I still like that. That makes me really interesting, doesn't it? And you know what? Every teacher in my school, I think, is the same way. What happens is I think sometimes we try to be more like the students and get their interest. You're interesting no matter how bizarre the things you are like, as long as they're appropriate. That's what makes you great. It really does. And so keep that in mind. Do you like Starbucks coffee or do you just like to carry that cup around? Do you honestly like that bitter coffee? You know what I think coffee is? It's an excuse to drink creamer. Because like if you put creamer in it, it just is good if you put a little coffee in there. And so I don't need to carry around a cup. It just seems like sometimes people do that. So they don't know what's in my cup. It's creamer. There's some coffee in it. And that makes me special. And water. Actually, I put water in the coffee and the creamer to dilute it more. So I had a teacher friend once, and he could relate to students pretty well. And sometimes when you realize that you kind of relate to them well, you try to do more things. And so he like played a pop song for his class, like on a video or a recording, I don't know what it was. And one of the students told my daughter, she said, I can't believe he sank down to that level, that he played a secular pop song for us. I don't know if there was some truth in it. I don't know how he would have found it anyways. And so, you know, we should never assume that all of our students even listen to music, listen to anything besides singing, or that they listen to music with instruments, or that they listen to CCM, or that they listen to secular rock. Probably shouldn't assume that. So anyways, the student was not impressed. Interesting teachers, the Anabaptist history guy, the geeky guy that loves to talk about Anabaptist history. We need that. Chester Weaver, and that's like, honestly, is it bad to have heroes? That's like one of my five heroes. I just love him. You should always go to anything Chester does. That's him, AKA the theologian. They love to talk about the Bible and theology. That's great. We should have those people. You should be those people. The weird art teacher. Yeah, I love artsy people. Just weird teacher walks around, paint on her and stuff. And weird projects. That's great. And you're like, no, that's neat. That's not neat. Yeah, but it's great. The weird art teacher. I mean, we need those. The choral music geek. Need I say more? Just weirdos. You don't have to have the mustache like waxed or whatever to be a choral geek. So I'm just saying. I love it. I love to talk to those people, and they sing in the hallway. And that's just what they do. It's who they are. And, you know, they go in the bathrooms at school and you hear them singing out in the hall. Yeah. So let's be an encourager of those things. The nerdy British lit professor. We got to have those. That was inspiring to me in high school. I love literature and people that just want to talk about literature. You can always tell non-Mennonite people. We call them English literature geeks. You can just tell them, you can just say, that guy has read The Hobbit 20 times, you know, and it's so obvious. So that's wonderful. And the good dad, I added that one, or the good mom. We should be dads and moms, and when you're too young for that, you're big brothers, all right? We do not need to be like them. The quirky things about you make you valuable. I think you should share at the beginning of the year your hobbies and about your family and the favorite things you do. If you become narcissistic and you talk about yourself all the time, that's narcissistic, and that's just annoying. Then you love yourself, and you're just trying to talk about yourself to them all the time. But I would once or twice a year, I like to sometimes decorate my room with some things that I like. I like sheep, and so I just have this picture of sheep staring. You know how whenever you say hi to sheep, they just go, and they all look at you? Sometimes if I'm having a bad day, I just look at the sheep, and you can smell the lanolin on the wool. I have a picture of the beach, and it looks like where Mrs. Swanson and I went on our honeymoon and some things like that. And so the student's like, what's that? And I'm like, that's just something that's important to me that I like. And I just think they know you. We don't all like the same things. We do try to act like that too much. Two things about classroom management that are really important. If you don't ever control your class because you want them to like you, it does work. I've said this earlier. It does work for a while because they think you're cool and things can just stay at a hum. It tends to be that because you've never established authority because of your fear of man, it backfires. I've noticed the teachers that sort of say they won't smile at their students until Thanksgiving, and then they lit up and have a good time. Maybe that's too long, Thanksgiving, but you know, if you don't let your students talk unless they raise their hand, they're not going to hate you. They'll whine about that for 3 days, and then it's orderly. It's kind of nice. It's a blessing, but they're not going to hate you for that. I can almost guarantee that. I already told that story. So classroom confrontations. So I have a few things to say about that to help you when it happens, if it ever happens. So a long time ago, I had a teacher that replaced a very popular teacher, and the parents didn't like him. And students didn't like him, and I thought he was pretty good, and I kind of felt bad for the whole thing. So one day we were in class, and one student that was pretty naughty, he said something really rude to the said teacher that they didn't like. And so the teacher said in front of his class, said, oh, really, you're gonna say that to me in front of class? Why don't you tell the students what you did to me last night? And I think he thought they would say what they did and gain all the students' sympathy. And don't laugh at this, but he said, okay. I went up to our teacher's front door, and I put paper bags full of manure on his front doorstep and lit them, and he came out and stepped on them. And it does sound funny. That man walked out of that room, and I never saw him again. I wonder if he went out and cried. I never saw him again. I looked him up. I tried to find him on the internet once. I still feel so bad. So, shouldn't have happened. Funny prank, yeah. Sort of. I mean, that's horrible. But just think, he shouldn't have said, well, why don't you tell them what they did? Students thought it was funny. I think he thought they'd see what a rude person this was. So I have another friend, and he was in class one day. He's a teacher. And a student stood up, I think it was during a test, and he made a gesture to the teacher. And then he said a rude saying that went along with the gesture. And my teacher friend said, okay, sit back down and finish your test. What do you think the guy did? He sat back down and finished the test. Situation's done. It probably got readdressed. See the difference? Oh, honestly, I mean, the guy thought he was going to completely mentally disturbed the teacher because he said that, and with his gesture, the teacher just said, just sit on your work. So the guy was like, okay. So just think, how to diffuse. And just always remember, you're in trouble. Try not to think about it. We'll talk about it after school. Okay. Please, we have 5 minutes. Remember, I said 35. I want you to think so hard about this. This affects people's lives, and God did it first, so it must work for us. All right? God made this technique up. So Cain's naughty, all right? And so God needs to confront him like a teacher, okay? So here's what's said. But unto Cain and to his offering, he, God, had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? He asked him a question. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto this shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Which we understand that means sin wants you, you got to rule over him. What did God do? He did not say you are bad and you're doing something wrong. He said, why is your countenance fallen? I beg y'all, when you think something's going on, if somebody says something in front of the whole class, you can address that directly. If you think a student has a bad attitude, if you've heard bad things that the students are doing, if somebody else has told you things that that student's doing, if you've seen the student look at you weird and give you body language, you need to go up to that student and say, this is what I think I see. It looks like you have a bad attitude. Do not say, you have a bad attitude and you need to stop it. This is what you're doing. That really affects people when you do that. And that's a hard one to learn because you see, and that gives a student three choices. They can lie and say, I'm not doing that when they are. They can say, I am doing that and I'm so sorry. Or they can say, I'm not doing it. It's the truth. I didn't mean to. I didn't even know what I was doing. I had a student, a girl student this last year, and she would sit there in choir. And I know that she's, you know, that she likes to sing, I thought. And she gave me this really odd look. And she's a good student. I finally said, you look in choir like you hate singing and don't want to participate. And she said, am I scowling in my countenance? I was like, you are scowling. And she said, I'm so sorry. I scowl. I really enjoy singing. But see, it looked so much. All the proof was there against her. It looked like she had a horrible attitude. And so I beg you, it really affects people when you tell them what they think. The Lord knows what they think. Ask them a question. If they lie, it's between them and God at that point. Ask people, say, this is what I'm seeing. Am I seeing it right, or is there something else? If God wants to do that with Cain and says, why has this happened? Why is your countenance fallen? That's awesome. Great teaching from our Lord. Learn how to apologize to children. Once I had a student, he's older now, I'm going to say his name. I saw him. He's a big man with the cowboy hat. He's the Mennonite school, and his name was Winston. And we started singing in all our textbooks. Winston was written in there. I got to write in textbook, Winston. It was spelled wrong. We figured out, obviously it's him. He's writing in his book. It's his name. It's kind of misspelled. He'd do that. And he had some things to deal with. He was a first grader. And so we finally told his dad, and his dad said, I will take care of that. And so I'm pretty sure Winston got spanked pretty good. Winston never said anything to me. I think it was Dina found out. I don't know how she did it. But another little girl named Natalie, she found out that Natalie had been writing Winston's name in these textbooks. And Winston got all the rap. And I'm pretty sure, Winston got spanked. And so I was 40 years old, and Winston's 6 or 7, first grade. And I said, Winston, you remember the whole thing with the U writing, and you got in trouble? And he said, yeah. And I said, I found out that we were wrong. And I said, I'm so sorry. I said, you got in trouble. And Winston, he looked up at me, and he had this like smile, frown, and he said, it's over, it's good, we're done. You know, and so there's so many ways a teacher could have gone around that without just saying to this kid, I screwed up and I'm wrong. When you offend a child, I know we're supposed to forgive somebody and it's over. I'd tell them you're sorry and go back another time and just say, I just want you to know I'm really sorry. Sometimes we do the, I'm sorry, I'll try to do better. And that means, I'm sorry, we're done. We're not going to touch it again. I'm not sorry. I'll try to do better. I'm so sorry I hurt your feelings. And I am so sorry, and I don't want that to affect you. I would go back and check and make sure that they realize the teacher messed up. So children, forgive. Two things. Mind your teasing. I tease the people I like. Y'all that know me know I just do. People don't always know when you're teasing, especially if you can do it stoically like I do. My sixth grade teacher, I broke my foot and I had a cast on. I just thought I had normal feet. And my toes were a little swollen. And she meant it well. She said, "Wow, you have huge toes. Is it swollen?" And I looked down and I think I probably said, "Yeah, I think it is swollen. I have big toes. I have a big toe. The rest are normal." You come tell me if you ever see me in Birkenstocks or flip-flops or barefooted. That was in the sixth grade. And you know what I realized after that? I have big toes. And I also had like ingrown toenail surgery, so I have really skinny toenails. And so I will not let humans outside of my immediate family look at my feet. I don't know if she meant it, but be so careful. So I put, don't tease them anything about their body parts at all. Nothing. Their ears, their nose, and make sure if you do tease that they're on the same page with you and that you're okay. Don't tease them about their cars. Yes, as adults, we sometimes struggle with the amount of lift and exhaust and how slow they can actually make really big trucks go. Anyways, when they put all these tuners in them. But you know what? That's part of a young man's life, and that's his parents' business. Don't tease them about their cars. Don't tease them about their music. If you need to find a time to talk one-on-one, I see that. But do not tease them about their music, okay? It's not your place to tease them. Talking into their life is one thing. Don't tease them about their anything in their life. It affects them. I had a teacher one time come up to me and say, "You don't even like that music group. Why'd you watch that?" It was the same guy that had worn long shirts. And I was just sitting there thinking, I'm young and it's probably not the best music, but I really do like them. Why are you saying that to me? It's just so judgmental. I'm not saying we shouldn't teach the children, but we should not do these things through teasing. Last one, awkwardness. You don't have this in your thingy. Awkwardness, negativity, accountability partners. Find somebody you trust and just say, "Can you just honestly tell me how I relate to the students? It's going to affect your teaching." And they might be like, "Sure." And if you have children, some of you will teach nieces and nephews, all right? Or little brothers and sisters, just ask them. You know how students are. They will tell you what they think of your parents or their parents or whatever. And so just find out how things are going. This is a lot of information. I'm pretty sure all of it is quite accurate. So I hope it will increase your day-to-day relationships with students. And love your students. They love you very much, and we have a very important role. I'm glad to talk to y'all. I put 10 things at the back of there. And I believe in those 10 things my students deserve, and I think that your students probably deserve them as well. God bless you, and we are done.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.